the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 20. Ere the blue heavens were stretched abroad, from everlasting was the Word. With God he was, the Word was God, and must divinely be adored. Hymn number 20.
Thank you. the holy word of God, let us read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 3. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, margin from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lift the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, or margin made manifest or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Let us pray. Most blessed and most holy God, we do bow before thee now and entreat thee for the gift and help and the descending of the Holy Ghost upon us, that the Blessed Spirit may breathe life into the gospel ministry tonight and into our very souls. O Lord, thy kingdom come. O, we confess that we live at a dying rate. Indeed, we are wretched sinners in thy sight. Nothing but evil and uncleanness and pride and corruption, but thou art the Blessed One. And we do look to thee, Lord Jesus, upon the mercy seat. And we do beg that thou make thy presence known and felt here tonight. Lord, thou knowest all about us as we meet around thy word. The true state we're in our souls. And in our circumstances also. For our life's minutest circumstance, Lord, is known unto thee, and let us know all our future. and us know all that is past. And we do entreat thee for thy kingdom to come. Put thy tender fear in our hearts. And come and feed our souls. We need much saving. O Lord, we do need thee to be with us. We do need thee, Lord, to forgive us our many sins and trespasses. We have to keep confessing our sinnership. Seems the same old sinnership to us too. We wish it wasn't, but it is. There's no denying it. It's solemnly true. Oh, we do want grace to reign, though, Lord. We do want it to be performed in our own heart, our own life, that where sin abounded, grace did therefore much more abound. We plead for that. We plead another blessed declaration and sacred promise, and that is, I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly, just what we need, Lord. Do minister the gospel to us tonight. Oh, then as the heartache and the soul distress and the troubles of one and another, Lord, we solemnly realise a little of something of the depth of the fall. We want to taste, Lord, that height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from fullness of love. Yes, Lord, an ocean fullness that doesn't have bottom, brim or shore. That indeed overwhelms all our sins with pardoning love and washes all away, every stain. Oh, we plead it before thee. But Lord, many of thy people come to and fro. The godly they're exercised. They often come exercised because they're not in a right place. Spiritually, they know they're not. And too many times they come to and fro the house of God and go home as they came, very solemn. They feel it solemn too, because they're thy people. And they know a different air. They remember the former mercies. And yet, Lord, can't seem to kindle the life when they hear the ministry declared. They know it's all good and blessedly true, but it never seems, at least for a season, it doesn't come to them. And they wonder whether it ever will. Oh, remember such that groan within themselves, and so wretched man that I am. Grant living waters to them tonight. Or could there be one's word in season, even to one and another here? Something spoken, Lord, to do them good and to revive thy work and raise up the hope again and lift up the light of thy counsel upon them once again, Lord, we pray. And Lord, remember those in trouble who are struggling in a warfare and indeed seeking to lay hold upon thee. And yet Satan seems to wrest the sword from their hand and about to arise and destroy them. Oh, help them to lay hold upon eternal life more and more. Oh, undertake in the solemn conflict that arch enemy. And do remember, Lord, those in affliction and the providential straits and the very anxious and worried and can't trust as they would trust. They do really trust and believe, and yet somehow they can't seem to draw any consolation from Christ. Yet they believe in the Lord and know he can help. But the enemy indeed agitates the mind and threatens an overthrow, and the Lord will never hear. Do then bless those in trouble, whatever the trouble, soul and circumstance. Maybe those here, Lord, that are fresh contracted guilt upon their conscience, so dreadful, and they know themselves to be so dreadful, O the chief of sinners, in thy sight. O do arise for their help, Lord. O may the gospel be preached to them once again. O do restore the joy of thy salvation to them, and give them victory, we pray. Remember the early seekers, we hope there are some. Do hope so, Lord. Sorry if there aren't. And we do plead, Lord, that indeed they might find encouragement from thy word. Oh, that there may be that drawing, an opening of the heart, softening of spirit. And that, Lord, thou mightest arise upon them as the light of life. Or they might see light in thy light. They might indeed not have that consolation that in doing truth they might come to thee. Oh, but do remember the careless also. They're happy to have a form and get on and enjoy life. Lord, do bring into deep soul trouble and concern. And they may be greatly way down to realise where they are, and they begin to cry out for mercy and call upon thee for life, forgiveness, and those who know that condemnation in their heart. Oh, do grant, Lord, that reveal thyself. Oh, Lord, do quicken souls in this place and bring them to cry out, Jesus, O Son of David, have mercy on me. We pray for a real religion. May sinners be born from above, born again of the Spirit in this place. Feed the poor. Oh, the many places thy people get into. There's only one glorious, divine, eternal person we've read of, Son of Man, which is in heaven, God with us. Oh, may thy name as ointment poured forth. With these are every medicine for every case. Bad cases, hard cases, desperate cases, complicated cases. Trying scenes, Lord. Oh, one name. Oh, one glorious person raised up to the right hand of the Majesty on high, the Son of God, the Son of Man, beloved Emmanuel. Oh, we do pray that indeed the Holy Ghost may bring the fountain open for sin and uncleanness to one and another here this night, and to the minister. Oh, let my soul live, it shall praise thee. We observe, Lord, now we're hurtling to the close of the year. A few more days and another year for spared. Oh, we need thee. Oh, we do. Often come to those places, the harvest is past and ended, the summer's ended and harvest past and we're not saved. Lord Jesus, do visit thy needy people. Lord Jesus, please to spare us into another year. Oh, please be the same God next year as it has been this year. We don't know our future. Solemn thoughts. And Lord, we have to own and confess that we're creatures of a day and very frail, and life hangs on a very brittle thread with regard to our health and strength. But we want it to be in the hand of God. Yes, Lord, may our life be sure that when life is done in this place, this world, oh, we may have a mansion in the skies. Yes, Lord, a house eternal in the heavens, not made by hands, but built of God. To have a place by God, the feet of Jesus, in that everlasting day in that everlasting world of love and happiness and brightness and purity and holiness and matchless bliss. Doesn't seem possible, Lord, that such poor sinners as ourselves really could ever go and be with God. But we do beg it, Lord. We do beg it. Or we do plead thy name, Lord. Do hear our cries. We do want you an unction in the ministry tonight, Lord. Oh, thou knowest how dry it will be without you an unction from God, without the life of the Spirit in the ministry. Oh, the ministry will be a dry breast. And how there will be that barrenness, desolation, and going home disappointed and troubled and tempted. Oh, we do pray for life in the gospel ministry tonight. It will be in vain otherwise. We want to thank you for thy mercies, Lord. Oh, they're so great. Daily mercies, countless mercies to us. We can't count them, they're too many. Oh, Lord, been a good God to us these many years. Have the glory still. And be that same God as already asked in all their remaining days. Oh, do forgive our many sins and trespasses, Lord. Our sins against light and knowledge. Will seem far worse than sins and unregeneracy. Oh, thou art so good. And we're so wicked. And we do have to solemnly confess it in secret before thee. We don't normally say such things in public. But it's true, and we must say it, we must confess it. Behold, I am vile, said Job. And the truth, there was such a godly man, yet the truth is that he was. And so are we. And so we plead the same grace. There are some poor Jobs here tonight who do know that their Redeemer lives. And he has stood upon the earth in these latter days. And do believe he'll come the second time without sin unto salvation. O Lord, as thou didst turn Job's captivity, turn our captivity also, Lord. For as John records that it say, without me ye can do nothing. Oh, thy kingdom come, Lord. So bless the brethren here, bless the office bearers. And give them wisdom, a single eye. Give them tenderness. And give them fortitude and firmness in grace to hold fast. And seek thy glory in all that they do. May the friends uphold their hands in prayer. With that unity of the spirit, the bond of peace among this people. In that one grand question, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? Ah, Lord, give them one heart and one mind in the Lord. And add unto them such as shall be saved. May those who attend the exercise be wrought upon to so put on Christ and walk in gospel ordinances and to do these things in remembrance of thee. Bring up this village and district around such as shall be saved. That's the case of the lady we met at the door. Some distress. O Lord Jesus, but distress, human distress must be sanctified to want Christ. Ah, Lord. We know not who the stranger was. And maybe just like ships passing in a night. But Lord, a never dying soul, according to thy good will, have mercy upon her. And have mercy upon us each. Lord, who makes us to differ? All in the same boat. Got desperately wicked hearts. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But we plead Christ, a precious Christ, to the ever which believe he is precious, for those here who know thee to be precious. Oh, bring us safely through our days and home to God. Oh, eternity won't be too long to praise thee and praise thee, unwearied singing unwearied singing, no night there. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Oh, be better all our fears and our just deserts. Oh, bring us safely through, and we'll crown thee, Lord of all. Now bless thy word, have mercy upon the young, the little ones, and send a newly born here. Oh, bless the dear little one, we pray. And bless all the dear children. Oh, give them a real religion as they grow up. What a world they're born into. All the scriptures are being fulfilled in this modern global age. Oh, Lord, make us each wise to pray for our young. Especially as parents bring up families, little ones are nourished and cherished and cared for. Oh, may the parents yearn over the souls of their offspring and yearn over their own souls also. And now, but we must now look to thee for help to preach the gospel. Oh, grant us thus, saith the Lord. Look to thee for help to receive the word. Bless poor sinners, poor needy sinners. So we plead thy pardoning love, the riches of thy grace, all prevailing name. Oh, we plead the blood of the everlasting covenant. We plead the word of God for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 51. What wisdom, majesty, and grace through all the gospel shine. 'Tis God that speaks, and we confess the doctrine most divine. Number 51.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, and to verses 14 and 15. John 3, verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Lord Jesus teaching Nicodemus of the new birth, which Nicodemus misunderstood, though we believe the word had an effect, as he later appears for the council, and then finally makes open profession in begging the body of Christ with Joseph of Arimathea. How gradually the Lord can work. And notice the verses also verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. It is the very work of God in a man's heart that brings him to Christ. When you and I are either venturing to Christ, calling upon Christ, pleading Christ, looking to Christ, groaning after Christ, or we're not. There's no halfway house between the Spirit's work and a man dead interested in sins. I will work, and who shall let it? That is, who shall turn it back? And my friends, none can turn back the word of God, the work of God, when the Spirit blows in saving grace and love. Now, the Lord Jesus, in teaching, is pleased here to make reference to the incident in the wilderness, where the Israelites, oh dear, they did rebel, didn't they? Oh, they did rebel, again and again. Rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still. But since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. Blessed God. So of all our sins, he's faithful that promised. Though made an example of unbelief by a whole generation dropping in the wilderness, yet the nation came in, the nation came in. The elect shall come in, but they lose much here, much of their religion. Oh, they're purged. So much is cut off, humbled, reduced to nothing. All they want to do is to sink down on everlasting love and mercy in the end. And those who are so reduced, they can only cry out, "Be merciful, Lord, be merciful," and want to sink down on him. Oh, he will bring them in and plant them. But just to come to the narrative in Numbers here somewhere. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to come to the land of Edom. So they're getting on in their journey there. And the soul of the people is much discouraged or shortened or grieved because of the way. We get tried in our journey, don't we? There's a wilderness place. They've been wonderfully supplied over the years and protected, haven't they? And yet, you see, dear friends, they were discontented. And weary of this wandering and wanted to get to a happy place, you see. How the flesh looks for ease. And I'm guilty. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. There was bread, but they were weary of it. That bread was type and shadow of Christ. It was a children's bread. It was a special provision from God by miraculous work in the night watches to drop that bread around their tents. That's the only time it's ever happened in the history of the world. 40 years. A peculiar bread distilled in the night on the ground. Ah, but you who have eaten the bread of life, eaten his flesh and drunk his blood, know the secret, don't you? But they were weird, their soul loathed this light bread that was so healthy and gave them vigour and strength for a wilderness journey. And doesn't Christ give his people strength for the journey? And don't you have to go out daily to gather it, my friend? And how things indeed seem to go wrong and worms begin to eat at us and things, our profession begins to stink, at least in our own nostrils, when there's not the going out after Christ. Or the desolation of soul. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So the Lord Jesus is pleased to speak of himself and declare the gospel of himself in recalling that incident and reminding them, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, the vilest, the weakest, most unlikely, the ends of the earth, oh, the foul backslider, the wretched worm, but whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Firstly, I must speak of our sins. Our sins. And the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, that one great offering for sin, he was lifted up at Calvary. And then the lifting up of Christ in the precious gospel was that serpent of brass was lifted up midst of the camp, that all might see it. And oh, the beautiful type of the gospel there and the fullness of it now by the Holy Ghost. Poor, helpless, wretched, guilty worms of the earth looking to Christ, believing in Christ, pleading Christ, will not perish but have eternal life. Dear friends, you know if we perish, it's forever. We've never yet come to a place where there's no hope. I mean the absolute reality of it. I have come to a place in my soul experience where there seemed no hope. And yet there was still a cry for mercy. There can't be cries for mercy in hell. I know perhaps there is a desire of it in one sense. Like Dives when he was tormented in the... You remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, you see. Oh, he wanted some help. If only his tongue could be called, but shows very plainly it cannot happen. That's despair. Real despair. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish, Jesus said. And my dear friends, we do need to repent, don't we? And who can give us repentance but that blessed, glorious Lamb of God? When he operates in the soul of man, you know, let's be clear, God have the glory, he comes unasked in the first place. He does. You say that's back to front. Asking you should. No. You begin to ask when you need. That's when you begin to really... When you begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness, when guilt begins to choke you, when you begin to see what a fool I am, what a rotter I am, sinned against God, against heaven, sinned against my neighbour. So there's a cry for help, for mercy, for grace, you see, the Spirit's breath in a man's soul. Well, I must come then quickly. Friends, our sins, they must be punished. God will punish our sins. He'll punish our sins. What shall we do? How can we face the punishment of our sins? We're closing in on to the end of the year, aren't we? Our sins of this year. Our sins of this year, friends. Our sins of last year. The years of your life. Dear friends, can we just say easily, well, you know, we pray for forgiveness and the scripture promises it, so we haven't got to worry too much. I need to worry because I love sin in my heart. And so do you. And God reads that. So if you're going to heaven and being prepared for such a place as heaven, he'll make you and I thoroughly ashamed of ourselves. Utterly ashamed. You'll come to places you won't know what to do with yourself. In secret before God, you just plead mercy, forgiveness, Lord. And that blessed Spirit, you know, he strengthens you to pray. Oh, he renews. My friends, he keeps the soul of the church alive. But she's in grief here, often in mourning here, after a precious Christ. See, the Spirit's work is that we are to convince us of our sin because we believe not on him. What an odd of faith is sin, and we see so much as rebellion and disobedience and waywardness and worldly mindedness and corruptions and unbelief and all the folly of nature. And here we are, having made an open profession of a precious Christ, and deep in the heart, my friends, there's harbouring that in our breast. Very solemn. How we do want thee, Lord, to enable us more and more to, in the sweet exercise of our soul, to believe in him. I know you may say, and technically it is true, that once a Holy Ghost makes you a believer, always a believer, yes, but we're not always exercised, you know. Oh, the soul isn't always valuing him. Oh, there's not that, as it were, waiting upon him continually, is there? The heart wanders, the heart gets hard. Sin brings a barrier and distance between your soul and God. The believing here is the exercise of a living soul in waiting upon God, because those who are being prepared for glory are exercised and found waiting upon God. It's not just only the doctrine in the letter of the truth. Sweet letter it is. The letter of the truth is very beautiful. You see, but dear friends, we can own it in the mind and say, yes, well, we make profession of this and believe that. But is there a sensible living, waiting, pleading, eating, drinking? Is the soul fed? Is the soul watered? Are you stirred up? Are we humble to wait only upon God? To stand still and see the salvation of God? See, this is the exercise of believing. Now our sins, you see. Oh, can two walk together except they be agreed? That's why, you dear friends, our beloved withdraws himself from our soul at times. We're an offence to our heavenly friend and our dear Redeemer and our blessed Lord. But you see, dear friends, this people that are afflicted and poor and needy in the earth, this people that know the plague of their heart, this people know that whom they believe, and they weep often after him in their believing. They have to bring their whole life and spread it before me in him whom they believe. They spread it before him and plead for his favour, his divine favour. It's this people that believe their sins are forgiven them because they're laid on Christ and God has laid them on his beloved Son. You've never laid your sins on Christ. If you've known the pardon of your sins, you know they were laid by God, your heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit will testify that to the comfort and consolation of your soul. So you see, dear friends, the Lord Jesus was lifted up from the earth. Again in this gospel, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. It's a very beautiful statement, isn't it? I know it's a divine statement, so it must be beautiful because it's divine, but isn't it beautiful for a poor sinner? Draw all men unto me. Are you drawn? Do you want to be drawn, my friend? Yes, the first probings you may resist. It's against your natural will to be disturbed and to be found guilty and naked and undone. That's a natural way of man in his soul. But when the Lord so grips you more firmly, you see, and you're brought to see your own ruin and desolation, what a wonderful thing to be drawn to Calvary. And if I be lifted up from the draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. As he hung at Calvary, my friends, yes, the whole of your life, believer, your whole of your life, seeking soul and confessing sinner, laid upon the Lamb. He sweat great drops of blood. They fell to the ground. And he knew soul agony. Blessed Jesus, pure holy soul who loved God, ever tender toward his neighbour, to mankind. And never did good, did Christ, never did an evil thing, He came not to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. Why? Because they're destroyed already, but he came to save them. And yet he should suffer at the hand of God because of our willfulness and our love of sin, our absolute wickedness. Yes, it was laid. This is God's mighty act. It's something we can't properly look into. We believe it, though. And you will, by the Holy Ghost, believe it with a broken heart, too. Because the Spirit's work saving. The Spirit's work in your soul will save you, my dear friend. His Spirit's work is saving always. To bring you and I to his feet as penitent, humble believers. Oh, but you ponder the tremendous import of this, you see. He was punished and felt the pains of hell upon him. That is, you see, the vengeance of God, which you know in your conscience you deserve. Can we bear the piercing thought? And it is piercing to a child of God. But if my name should be left out, when thou for them shalt call. And Christ was pierced in his soul. And Anne Steele say somewhere, 1087 I think it is, was it for sin, for mortal guilt, the Saviour gave his vital blood? For sin, amazing anguish felt the wrath and have offended God. And shall I harbour in my breast, tremble my soul at such a deed? So there are some trembling believers here tonight, because you know you harbour things in your breast. That's a solemn matter, isn't it? It's solemn to men. It's solemn to you who fear God. This dreadful foe, this fatal guest, sin's fatal. We're dying. The sin that made the Saviour bleed. There's a hope in Christ, though you're dying. Because sin is fatal. He gives you faith. Yes, when he gives you eternal life to believe. Faith to trust in him. Faith to repent toward him. Faith to call upon his name. Faith to draw near and fill your mouth with holy arguments. Come. Is the language attractive to you? Come, glorious conqueror, gracious Lord, thy all-prevailing power employ. Oh, come with thy resistless word, these hateful enemies destroy. My hope, my all is fixed on thee, for thou alone hast power divine. Oh, come and conquer, Lord, for me, and all the glory shall be thine. Yes. Lifted up, my dear friends, and God emptied his anger, vengeance, and his wrath against sin upon his dear, beloved Son as he poured out his soul unto death. And because God emptied his wrath, so Jesus died in victory. It is finished. Oh, justice is done. The Lamb died. The Lamb offered himself without spot to God, according to his Father's will and his Father's commandment. For I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Yes, this is love, the love of God. As we have in the following verse, for God so loved the world. The original it would mean the world of his people, as John Owen clearly points out, that he gave his only begotten Son. And again it's repeated, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is why, dear friends, the witnesses of Christ the humble walkers and mourners here below. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You who mourn over your unprofitableness year by year, your failings, your sins, your shortcomings, because your sins are against light and knowledge, from a quote from 802, sins against a holy God, sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name and cause, sins against his righteous laws, sins immense as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane. Therefore the Lord's people, they mourn after him whom they love and hope one day they will see. Balaam knew he'd see the star that would arise out of Bethlehem. He had no repentance or desire to his name. They knew he would see him, but not nigh. And he perished in his sin. He dealt with, divination. But, oh, dear friends, the seeking soul longs to see him. And that is, you long to know the intimation of his love and his mercy, to kiss you with the kisses of his mouth. I said to the folks at home yesterday evening, you know, when Christ comes the second time, the people of God won't see a stranger. In fact, your deacon prayed this in something similar in the vestry. It comes back to me now. But I said at home yesterday, you see, they'll see him. They know him. They've seen him by faith. Nothing visionary, but they've worshipped him. And he knows them. When your deacon prayed something similar like that, that he might know us, we might know him. You see, you know him at the throne of grace. You behold him at the throne of grace. You hold him in the galleries of the gospel. You can't describe in what is viewed by faith, because it is not a visionary sort of thing, friends. It's something you know. God loves you with an everlasting love. With love and kindness, he draws you to him. Jeremiah knew it. Yea, the Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And you begin to worship him, which is the kindlings of love here below, miracle of grace from your heart. But oh, don't become sure. Aren't we spiritual adulterers? Aren't there many other gods that clamour for attention? The gods of silver and the gods of gold, or the idols in our families and our affairs. Oh, our idleness in things of spiritual things and our industry in dying things, you ponder it. I'm not casting stones at you. I'm preaching about the plague of Monarch. Blessed be his name. There's forgiveness with him. David knew it in the Song of Degrees when he cried out from the depths. Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. You see, he cried out to the depths. So he cried to the depths of your soul at times. Yes, but you see, friends, Jesus died once. Once. You ponder it. The Holy Ghost bring you and I to ponder it and to plead it and to eat and drink it. He died once. All sufficient is our Jesus. Though our sins are as black as hell, from pollution he can raise us, or from nature's deepest cell. He on Calvary cancelled all his people's sin. The whole life was pardoned by God as Jesus poured out his soul unto death. Weeping, saint. Genuine weeping, isn't it? Grief over what you are. Our base ingratitude we mourn. Our forgetfulness. Our prayerlessness, our hardness of heart at times. Our unforgiving spirit at times. a worldly mind at times. It makes you weep, weeping saint, after a precious Christ, that is. Forget thy mourning, why cast down or troubled so? To the cross thy eyes be turning, see what healing virtues flow. Christ exalted the hope of Israel now. You know, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So, you see, and as Moses lifted up the son of the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So the lifting up of the serpent of brass was type and shadow, the lifting up of Christ in the gospel. And telling poor, dying, guilty sinners, because they were murmurers and complainers and rebellious and unthankful for the Lord's mercies. So they were bitten. And bitten hard. We're bitten hard at times, aren't we? In our soul. They're told to look to the serpent of brass. And they lived. They lived. You see, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, blessed me, I will in no wise cast out. Though your sins may be heinous and your backslidings many, you've much to confess and mourn over. And him that comes to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Whatever his crimes, my crimes are great but don't surpass the power and glory of thy grace. Ah, you see, dear friends, all sins are numbered to the sand and like the mountains for their size. The seas of sovereign grace expand. The seas of sovereign grace arise, an ocean fullness. And so God has raised him up to his right hand to go to heaven for you, to plead your cause as you plead him. His eyes ever upon the righteous. Your heavenly Father sees you and knows you have need of before you ask him. And he loves the people and his saints from his hand. He's given to his beloved Son. But Jesus intercedes for the comers. And when they're not coming and not exercised and seem, as it were, to be wandering away like a bird from its nest, away from their safety and their joy and their felicity, and away from their dear Redeemer, his eye still upon them, but they aren't asking for him to intercede and plead their cause, are they? Oh, the blessedness of an exercise before God. But the mercies, in spite of these sinners and their wanderings, their behaviour, the Lord provided. The serpent of brass, type and shadow, is the gift of all gifts, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And the Lamb lives, and he lives for his dear people, though they wander in the wilderness, and often they're filled with backsliding. Yet, my friends, his eyes upon them day and night, and he brings them back to his feet because he loves them and will have them in glory with him. They're his purchased possession. He shed his precious blood for them. Therefore he brings them to his feet as broken-hearted sinners. And you and I, if we're being prepared for such a glory, we brought as broken-hearted sinners, hating our own life also, we were told. You see, except we hate our own life also, we cannot be his disciples. Doesn't mean we hate his good providence, the Lord forbid. Kind God, merciful God to us in our providence. But we're brought to hate our own life also. What we are by nature. What we know ourselves to be. Oh, but you plead the reign of grace. So you see, dear friends, Christ exalted is the song of Israel now. Exalted at the right hand of God, to be a prince and a saviour, to give repentance unto Israel, and forgiveness of sins. Lord, help me to speak of him as that blessed one at the right hand of God, ever interceding for all those who call upon his name. I think a little earlier on the journey of the value of that name. Oh, that name, friends. This is the name the Father loves to hear his children plead. And all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed, the poet says, and it's blessedly true according to the scriptures. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, be thankful for such divine statements. Wherever you may be in your providence and circumstances and the state of your soul, whatever be the ugliness of your sinnership and the strength of your sinnership and the powers of darkness arraigned against you, and God may be silent and put you, as it were, away for a season from him, like my dear friends, he left Jonah to himself, and there he was, cast into the boiling rage, and yet a fish swallowing saved him, and then he began to turn. Oh, poor Jonah. How he felt, I just can hardly realise, though I know a little of it, I think, sometimes. I think some of you know it too. What a wretched man he was now. What a thousand fools he knew himself to be, poor man. It was his deed, his will, his folly. It was his sin. And yet he wanted God from that very hellish place. Oh, he remembered the Lord. See, the Lord brings trials that we should remember the Lord. Because we haven't been remembering the Lord. Jonah, faith failed, he couldn't trust. I agree, it wasn't an easy thing to go to Nineveh, a pagan city, a heathen city, and tell them, and yet 40 days and God will destroy them. It wasn't an easy matter, was it, with him, poor man? But you see, as a prophet he should have trusted. So should gospel ministers too. And so should you and I, my friends. But you see, he fainted. And so he did the easiest thing. He took a ticket to Tarshish. And poor man, into the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. But, oh, the Lord brought him there. You see, the elect, they can't escape God. You in your backslidings, you can't escape God. In your sins, you can't escape God. Oh no, love, an everlasting love. He'll bring you back to his dear, blessed feet. You may stand in awe at wonder, at mercies, streams in streams of blood. Oh, his everlasting love to his church. So you see, he's lifted up at God's right hand, that poor sinners should look to him. As there they were on the desert floor in their death throes, they were told to look at the serpent of brass. And so they looked to that serpent of brass, we just measure it glinting in the sunlight of the wilderness, as it were. There it was, lifted up high so that all could view it, you see. And as they looked, they lived. Oh, the pain ceased and the writhing ceased and the agonies were gone and strengthened. Healed. Dear friends, you who suffer deep anxiety about your standing before God, you who are troubled about your never dying soul, and you who feel bitterly something of your wretched state and your sins, you who may be conscious that you have a certain form, but you feel you lack the power and are anxious about it. Well, remember the words of Jehoshaphat in his distress and his providence. And there may be those here in distress in their circumstances. Neither know we what to do. Their eyes are upon thee. Blessed be God. So the Holy Ghost says, look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. There is none else. Beside me there is no Saviour. I know not any. There is no salvation out of that blessed God. In the lovely person's beloved Son, Text in Scripture, I'm sure I've said this here before, it won't matter repeating it. Text in Scripture, I haven't preached from very many times, only probably two or three times in my life, and it's this at Deuteronomy 33, the close. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And it goes on, he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and say, destroy them. But it's that first clause, you see. I've never been able to preach from it properly. Mind you, I can't preach properly anyway, but that's beside the point. But particularly that verse, you see, is seen in such a depth. It's such a tremendous, glorious matter. The eternal God, intrinsically holy, who must punish our sins, who sees all my waywardness and wretchedness. He who, my dear friends, searches the heart and tries the reins. He's your refuge. We're the offence. We're the rebels. We've turned away. We've turned our back on God. Yet he has made provision in himself, his holy eternal self, in the gift of his dear Son. And the sweet gospel instruction is that poor sinners should look to his dear Son. Oh, the exceeding precious promises in the everlasting covenant, sealed by the blood of the New Testament, the blood of Jesus, that none should ever perish who look to his dear Son. Oh, are thy sins beyond recounting, like the sand the ocean laves? Jesus is of life the fountain, he unto the utmost saves, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Let's try and come to this believing in him. Ah, my dear friends, this believing, of course, is the exercise of precious faith. Faith in this exercise. A man may have faith, but he may not be particularly stirred up in exercise. It seems though the candle of light is only glowing very dimly in his soul, but when the Lord puts his hand and raises the storms and tries him and lays affliction on his loins and brings him to his senses, oh, it's stirred up to exercise again. This is what I want to speak of, you see. And this includes all your providence and all your affairs and all our future, all our need for a dying day that is clearly before us and fast approaching us. With the worries of the family, with the worries in business, or the worries in your little life, the circumference of your providence and the concerns in the church of God, our own personal standing, that whosoever believeth in him, believeth to draw near, believeth to call upon that all-prevailing name, believing to fill your mouth with holy arguments and bring the precious truth of the Lord Jesus to bear in your prayers as you call upon his name, thou art the Christ. Lord, thou dost live at the right hand of God. Oh, thou shed thy precious blood. I'm foul, I'm stinking, Lord. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow, says guilty David. Guilty of adultery, guilty of murder, guilty of deceiving and lying. Oh, he said, purge with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, he tells us there he required truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part he makes us to know wisdom. Oh, you want the Lord Jesus, you want the Lamb of God. You draw near and tell him your case, your poverty, your ruin, your exercises, your worries, your concerns. And yet your prayers don't end in merely telling him your troubles, but you plead him who you believe can do everything. Everything to save you, bless you, console you, carry you safely through, bring you safely home to God. We have to learn the doctrine, without me ye can do nothing. We'll sink in despair, we'll die away in grief, we shall faint and pine away and die without divine support and everlasting love. Our faith will fail without those fresh supplies of grace. We have to plead the ocean fullness that he is as Almighty God, and all that is with him as Almighty God. For it pleased the Father in him should all fullness dwell, a fullness of grace for every situation, every scene, and your whole life and all your sinnership, a fullness of grace. And a fullness of grace to increase your faith and strengthen your weak hands and confirm your feeble knees. A fullness of grace to exercise you according to his will about your steps and your life. That whosoever believeth in him. Therefore, there's a coming, a venturing, a waiting only upon God. Oh, let there be that believing with a single eye. Yes, a single eye, a steadfast faith. My heart is fixed, said the psalmist, trusting in God. Ah, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Whoever believeth in him buildeth by faith upon the sure foundation of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He, my dear friends, who is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. So you see, dear friends, there is that looking away from self, that trusting thereto, that drawing near, that spirit of grace and of supplications, that holding fast. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. The scriptures are full of godly men waiting upon God, should not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life. See, if you have eternal life, you will not perish, because eternal life can never die. The natural life that I have and you have is dying. But we must have eternal life to fear God. Oh, to think upon his name by faith. And to so cast your care. See, dear friends, this believing brings you to communion, to a holy intercourse between your soul and God as you tell him all your secrets and plead and declare before his blessed face at his feet all that he is and all that he can do. And seeking unto him for all the consolation and support and the wisdom you need and the sanctifying grace that you need, the everlasting strength you need to endure. Leaving your providences with one who upholds heaven and earth by his own hands. And one has said, he who upholds heaven and earth waits to answer prayer. And so he waits to be gracious. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? If so much isn't there, dost thou believe that he's the glorious, divine, eternal Son? All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. He's with the Father. Dost thou believe that he's the Son of Man? He's God with us. Yes. Who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Who died for our sins. And my dear friends, who shed his precious blood once, has made a complete and satisfactory atonement. And that blood is the testament of God. He delights in mercy. He will be gracious. Ah, dear friends, is there a believing in him that he has all wisdom? And a believing that he's God's high priest, you may go and touch him and tell him your case. Well, I'll have to close. You know, dear friends, Job concluded at the end of his heavy trial, poor man, godly man. I said in prayer, yeah, to say he was vile, but he wasn't. He lived a very godly life, you know, Job. God's testimony in the opening chapter certainly that shows he feared God and eschewed evil. But he had to come to a place where he said, behold, I am vile. But he concluded, you see, in humble faith, I know that thou canst do everything, and no thought can be withholden from thee, margin, no thought of thine could be hindered, I particularly lie. Wherefore I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself. Repent in dust and ashes. And the Lord turned his captivity. Oh, Jesus does heal the brokenhearted. Then let our humble faith address his mercy and his power. We shall obtain delivering grace in the distressing hour. Yeah, should not perish, but have eternal life. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. We plead for that eternal life, to believe in thee more, Lord. Oh, to come to thee. Oh, to tell thee our case. Oh, let us abide under thy shadow forever, Lord. Lord, thy kingdom come. Now do pardon all that's been spoken wrongly here this night. Bless that which has been true and of the Holy Ghost. May something do us good. Oh, help us to believe in thee more. Grant journeying mercies now. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Lord willing, Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pack next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1095. Dearest of all the names above, my Jesus and my God, who can resist thy heavenly love or trifle with thy blood? 1095.
Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.